now, like, everybody's on the women's basketball train right now. Now your faves are coming to the W, so you have to come watch now. Yeah.
What's going on? It's Keyshawn, and welcome to my show, Undisputed Presents All Facts and No Breaks. Joining me today is WNBA champion and LA Sparks guard, Lexi Brown. Lexi!
Hey.
How you doing?
What's good.
What's this guy here? What's his name?
This is Cannon.
Cannon?
Yes, my little baby. Okay.
Your little baby. Him.
Like around the holidays.
That's my big baby over there, my son Keyshawn. So,
how you guys doing?
Keyshawn and Cannon. Oh.
So, you're coming off your best scoring season in your career, mm-hmm. and you just signed a 2-year extension with the Sparks. Loan me something.
I did.
Loan me something. No,
I need it.
You need it.
I've been waiting.
What's it? What does it feel like though? Because you've been out of college for 7 seasons.
Yeah.
But this is really your first. It's like, I guess would be your coming out party.
I think so. Yeah. So this is my first extension that I've signed in the W. So yeah, really exciting. Relieved actually, because I just know everything that I've been through in my career so far has just been really, really up and down. So being able to get to this point, despite all the circumstances, you know, it just makes me feel really good. Made my parents really proud. So, yeah.
How does it feel getting ready for the third season now?
I'm excited. I mean, this is the longest I've been on a team in the W. This is my home now. So I'm going in with a different mentality. I get to finally be a veteran leader that I haven't really had a chance to be yet. Show off my basketball IQ. And, you know, we have a really young squad. So I'm just really excited.
So you like the old head?
I know. Yeah. Yuck.
What's the goal at the end of the day? What's your goal?
Personal goal?
Just in general, team and personal.
We're
going to win a championship.
Highlights. I mean, I do want to say that, like, I think people forget that I actually, like, am nice. Like, I know I was out for a while last season, but it's just like, look, I don't know. I don't really.
Why did you just
really
throw the ball up and hope it go in? Just now?
Nah. Well, because she was fouling me. You know, when you got DT on you, a legend, you got to bait her sometimes. So that's what I had to do. But I mean, my personal goal is to just continue what I was doing last season, pick up where I dropped off at, which was, you know, getting buckets essentially. Mm-hmm. I think for the team goal, obviously a championship, but getting back to the playoffs, I think, is just a more realistic goal for right now. And then being an all-star. I mean, I think I had a really good shot at being one last season. So just trying to get back to that level again.
Lexi, as I mentioned, 7 years since you left college.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in the W 7 years, and it took a long time for you to get to where you are now. What was that? Like, what's it been like? What was the journey like?
Yeah. Roller coaster would be a simple way to put it. You know, I played 3 seasons overseas. I've pretty much experienced almost every type of experience you can have as a professional basketball player. You know, you come from college, you're on the top of the world, you're one of the best players in the country. Then you get drafted and you just get knocked down a couple notches, you know, at the bottom of the totem pole. So, you know, being a rookie, being a sponge, being on a really good team, a playoff team, getting traded, then becoming a key rotational piece on another playoff team, getting waived from that team after, you know, finding my footing a little bit, getting picked up, getting waived again. And I was just kind of like, I got waived twice in probably 30 days, I would say. So that probably was like one of the lowest points of my basketball career was, you know, getting waived from the Minnesota Lynx without really any type of conversation. Like, to this day, I still have no idea why they waived me.
They didn't like sit you down and be like, oh, well, we like you, but
nothing. Like, training camp was approaching and I was just not getting any information about camp. And I had my agent at the time reach out and they were just like, oh, yeah, you know, we don't really want her on the team. Okay. And then that was it.
And I was like, okay. And then I guess they were trying to trade me. They couldn't make it happen. So then they ultimately just waived me and had me scrambling to find a team for training camp, which that's how I ended up on the Sky, which ended up being a blessing because we ended up going on to win the championship. But I knew that wasn't where I was going to be long term. Mm-hmm. So landing in LA, I always knew that I was going to be in LA. Like, I've always wanted to be on the Sparks, and people don't really know that about me, but like, that was like my dream team, was to be on the Sparks. So, you know, going through all these other teams just to get here, and now this is like my home base and my family now, like, it's just really special.
So I know you can't jump like your dad, D Brown.
At all.
You don't have them boosties.
Not even close.
You know, your dad, D Brown, slam dunk champion, if I can remember, mm-hmm. with the Reebok pumps.
Yep.
I was a kid at the time. I actually probably went out and bought a pair. I think I might have bought a pair after that. I think I was like in the 10th grade.
It was an iconic moment.
Yeah, 10th grade, little former NBA player D Brown, Boston Celtic, whatnot. How did he influence you in advice that he gave you throughout college and into this WNBA world?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of my favorite, it's like my favorite and least favorite things about my dad is that he's very hands-off when it comes to like being like in the spotlight and stuff like that. Obviously, I talk to him almost every day. You know, when season starts, I talk to him all the time. He gives me notes after games. At halftime, I sometimes will have texts waiting from him. But he's just instilled this work ethic in me that he had when he was growing up. You know, he wasn't highly recruited. You know, he got to the league because he got invited to a college seniors basketball camp, and he just stood out there. And he kind of just had to, you know, work his way into the league. And, you know, that's just kind of the mentality that he has always given to me, was you just got to, you know, your work is going to show always. And then he says this thing to me called hoop over hype. And I just have never gotten, you know, the accolades. I do have the accolades, but I have never really had the buzz that has followed the accolades, which I've never really understood. But that's not why I play. I play because I love basketball, and that love that he gave to me for it, and just spending time with him too. I mean, I think that's how I fell in love with basketball, because I just wanted to spend time with my dad.
Lexi, I saw you participated in Gilbert Arenas' shootout here in LA, where you competed against men and women, all from the same 3-point line. How was that experience?
The shootout was fun. I think one of the best parts about the shootout was all the trash talk that was going on leading up to the shootout. Mm. And then we all made a bet on the couch that whoever made it farthest, well, it was whoever won. But then it turned into whoever made it the farthest in the shootout would get the show named after them for a week. So then Gil's Arena turned into Lexi's Arena for a week. And that was really nice. That was fun.
You was knocking shots down?
Yeah, that's what I do.
No, but don't see you coming with the, that's what I do.
I am a shooter.
Well, what'd you think of the Seth versus Sabrina 3-point contest?
I thought that was amazing. I thought that was really cool. I love that she shot at the NBA line. And I love that she outshot every other NBA player that participated in the 3-point contest other than Steph. So, I mean, we know that she's an elite 3-point shooter. So I'm glad the world got to see that. And I thought that was a really great moment for us.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch it, but.
Why not?
You know, I didn't watch it because I think just All-Star whole deal is so boring to me now. Like, I just.
Yeah.
Everything,
I mean,
is
I
like
think
a,
that was
everything
like.
Is like a gimmick. It's like, yeah so I kind of like. I don't know.
That was definitely the most exciting part.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Like, and it wasn't even
like I'm
close.
Not watching a slam dunk contest with somebody that's not slamming in the league. I'm just not doing it.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying? Like,
that.
If I want to watch a slam dunk contest, I want to see Ja. I want to see Ant-Man them. I want to see them. Let me see some dude that I have no idea who he is. He's off the streets coming to dunk.
Off
like,
the streets is crazy.
Oh, yo, shout out Jack McCullough,
man. They're NBA players.
Shout out. Man, come on, man. He off the streets. He literally off the streets.
No, I agree. I do wish more stars would, you know, participate, which is why I respected Jaylen Brown, even though he did try. He tried my dad's dunk. He tried it.
Oh, did he? I didn't even see it, so.
It didn't go well, but. I appreciate the attempt. My dad appreciated the attempt, but
That was it.
He said he always tells me, he's like, people don't realize how hard it was to do that dunk. He thought about it.
Yeah,
off the
because
top.
First of all, your dad's not 6'9".
He's not he's not a tall, like,
he's a little dude.
He's so it looks way different
from a little person.
6'2" I don't want to see a 7-footer dunking. I just don't want to, you know, give me Ant-Man, give me the 6'5" and under.
Okay, so your dream slam dunk contest is
6'5"
and under.
Like, you know, I could go 6'6". Super athletic. I could go 6'6" because of Jordan, because he had certain poses and he could float in the air and pause. And so I want that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's always like, LeBron, he should do the dunk contest. LeBron's not a guy who could torque his body in the air like that. He just doesn't have, you know, he's a power dunker.
Yeah.
So
if you could pick four current NBA players to participate in the slam dunk contest, it would be Ant-Man, Ja.
Zion,
Jalen Green.
Zion, fat ass.
He's not. Slim down a bit. Have you seen him? He looks good. I need y'all to leave Zion alone.
I'm just saying, he slimmed down a little bit. He still looked like a donut, though. That's just the reality of it. So if you was the commissioner of the WNBA, what needs to be addressed to continue to move the league forward?
I think the renegotiation of our media rights is going to be like pivotal for the game moving forward.
Caitlin Clark going to help that. They just go.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm very happy that those girls are declaring.
Yeah, they have to.
I just feel like they're at the pinnacle of everything right now. And why would you not take your talents amongst the best? So I think Caitlin Clark is definitely going to help move the needle. Marketing, I think they're doing a much better job, even though some people might disagree, but they don't realize like how much progress the W has made as far as marketing and stuff.
So much progress. I used to go to a lot of the Comet games and the Sparks, I would go, but in Houston in particular, because I'm real good friends with Tina Thompson, and Tina went to high school and college with me. And so we would basically go to each other's games when I was playing. She'd come to Tampa or New York or whatever, and I always would go to Houston to watch her play or the Sparks games. So it's changed dramatically from back then.
Yeah.
I mean, it just used to be, it was pretty empty, I would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was fans there, but it wasn't like it is now.
Yeah.
Way, way different.
I mean, I feel like, yes, like we want people to watch on TV, obviously. But like, if you go to a WNBA game, like every person that I've told to come to a WNBA game that have never been before have a blast. Like they love it. Like it's great vibes, it's a great atmosphere, and it's good hoop. Like it's good bump. Like I don't know why people are just so stuck on the fact that good basketball isn't being played, because it absolutely is. But once people actually get to a game, they realize you're
breaking stuff.
I know, sorry. They realize like, okay, this isn't so bad. So just like now like everybody's on the women's basketball train right now. Now your faves are coming to the W. So you have to come watch now.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, Caitlin Clark got an offer from the Big Three saying that she can make $5 million to play in 10 games. Do you feel that an offer like that only demands the WNBA players to be paid more?
She wouldn't get a bucket.
That's not what he asked, though.
Yeah.
I think he should have offered her more money. One. Two, what? I think he's full of...
Yeah, you don't believe it?
He's full of it. I was expecting him to be courtside in Albany at least at one of her games this past week.
To try to court her?
I mean, if you...
So he might be at the Final Four.
That's what I'm saying. I'm giving him one more chance to pull up to, you know, be like, all right, maybe he's for real about this. I mean, I think it's great for the W that out of all these basketball players out here, he thought that a women's basketball player would be the one to move the needle for his league. So I think that's fire. I think that's dope. But their league is at the same time as ours. So
It is? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
So, I mean, he said that, yeah, there's only one game that is on a fever game day. But, like, you have to account for travel days, practice days, all that kind of stuff. And it wouldn't work.
See, but
she would ultimately have to miss the W season to go play.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with somebody, I don't know who it was, but it was somebody. And I'm going to take that nickel if I'm her.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, I'm taking it. I'm taking the money and keep it moving.
Take it.
Yeah, I can always get back to the
and
WNBA.
The W, yeah, the W's not going to be like, okay, you picked the Big Three. You can't come back and play here.
But it's just like, he was just very disingenuous with the offer as far as...
As of yet, you think. Because he might be at the Final Four.
He might be.
He could be at the...
But if he's talking about promoting the women's game in the WNBA and not having us go overseas, why would you take our next superstar out of our league to put it in yours instead?
Yeah, but I'm not defending him because I don't know his thought process, but I'm probably thinking if I'm a betting man, he never thought about all that.
I don't think this was his idea at all.
Probably, that may be true too, though. That may
But that may be true. I mean, we're like Ice Cube. We want Caitlin Clark in our league to move the needle for us.
Yeah.
So, of course, I don't know why anybody thought that we would be like, yeah, go to the big three instead of the W. Yeah, go get that money, obviously. But on the flip side, we're still WNBA players and we want her to come play in the W.
Yeah.
Because it's where she belongs.
Coming up on April 15th, and the Sparks hold the second pick and the fourth pick.
Yep.
I don't know how y'all got the second and the fourth pick, whatever y'all did to get that. That was pretty...
Blues. What do you mean?
Oh, that's loose? Oh, I don't know. I mean, to have two picks in the top five?
We traded for the fourth.
Oh, you traded for the fourth. Nevertheless, y'all got two picks in the top five, and you got somebody like Angel Reese that's just sitting out there. She just declared, you know, for the WNBA. Would that be somebody that you feel like that could fit what y'all want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there's four or five players that would be perfect fits for us this upcoming season. So, you know, I'm just glad I'm not the GM making this decision. But this is a really, really talented rookie class that's coming in. So, I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to seeing who we pick. Obviously, I have no idea, but, you know, you have Cardoso from South Carolina. You have Cameron Brink, Stanford. You have Edwards from UConn. Peely from Utah. Like, there's a lot of really talented front court players that we could definitely use this season. So I'm going to be happy with whoever we pick, honestly, because, I mean, we have two out of the top five. So I just don't think that there's an incorrect pick that we can make. Mm-hmm.
So I saw a Des Bryant tweet that Angel Reese and Haley Van Lith should stay in college. He said, "I think the world enjoys watching college girls hoops more than the WNBA." What do you think of this comment?
Now in hindsight, that tweet is dumb because Angel decided to leave.
Man, it's a bunch of dudes saying dumb shit. This is a bunch of dudes saying dumb shit.
I mean,
Trust me.
Des Bryant is known for having questionable takes on Twitter. but he, I don't know. It's just like, I don't always address or acknowledge those types of tweets. But when you have someone in the sports space with that type of following, and that's what you decide to put out after enjoying a really nice evening of women's hoops, and you decide to just shit on the WNBA, like, it just doesn't make sense to me, but I think the world enjoys watching Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark,
Haley
and Lift.
That's it.
It doesn't matter where they're playing at.
Yeah, but that's it, though. The bottom line is, I never in my entire lifetime ever sat at home and watched 8 quarters of college women's basketball. Never. Never, ever. And the reason I say 8 quarters is because...
both games, right?
Huh?
You watch both games?
I watch both games. One, USC. I went there, you know, Juju Watkins and all that. So I'm watching SC, and then obviously I'm watching the hype. I'm watching the Caitlin Clark versus the Angel Reese, and, you know, I got a championship, you don't. I'm watching all of that buildup. When they leave and that buildup ain't there, I'm not going to be really watching it. I love Dawn Staley. Been knowing Dawn Staley forever. I watch her squads here and there when they're on. But for the most part, yeah. Now, as far as WNBA go, if it's on, I'm watching it. Just like it's the NBA. I'm going to watch the Sparks if I get an opportunity. I'm going to watch Vegas with an opportunity. I'm going to watch Seattle. I'm going to watch Phoenix with an opportunity. Minnesota, I would watch if it was on. Other than that, I don't know what. Dad's just talking.
Always talking.
Yeah, you can't pay
attention. That's all people be doing online. Yapping.
Yeah, they.
Yep,
that's why I don't pay attention to social media.
Yep, well, Iowa and LSU brought in 12.3 million viewers, making it the most watched women's basketball game ever. Caitlin dropped 41 points, but I didn't really get the Kim Mulkey strategy. How would you guys guarded Caitlin Clark?
Not like that.
But the one girl was in trouble, in foul trouble, though.
But not because she was guarding Caitlin Clark.
No, but you couldn't put her on Caitlin.
But she didn't start her on Caitlin.
She didn't start it on her.
I said on a podcast the day before the game, and I don't know, and I'm going to say this, and if we don't guard her like this summer, the people are going to be like, okay, what the hell? She likes to go left. All her threes, they even put up a shot chart on ESPN.
Everything was to the left?
Left. All them deep threes, all them step backs, left. I mean, that's very typical for a right-handed player. I would have forced her right, trapped her. So on the right side of the court, I would have iced her, which is not allowing her to use the ball screen, going left. Iced her, forced her to the corner, and then eventually trap her. And when she's on the left side of the court, sit on her left hand and force her into the screen and trap her again. Just send two at her.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, her teammates are extremely talented. So don't get me wrong. Iowa has a very
talented team. They but can knock down shots. Her.
Right. So you take away, 20 points that Caitlin had? And the two other girls still have their 20 and whatever they did. LSU wins that game.
LSU probably wins if Angel Reese stays healthy too, though.
Yeah.
I think they win that. But then they started in the beginning, they was going over the top of the screens, and then they start trying to go underneath, which I didn't
underneath. And then when they were going over, they were in a drop coverage, which I also didn't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just was a very odd game plan from Kim Mulkey.
So Final Four tomorrow, NC State, South Carolina, UConn, Iowa. Who you got?
Very excited for that UConn Iowa game. I, as a loyal Dukie, I hope South Carolina beats the brakes off of NC State.
Mm-hmm.
That's just from my Duke heart. Can't root for NC State, but very happy for them nonetheless. But
I don't really fuck with Duke, but okay.
Why not? Why don't nobody like Duke?
Not like Duke.
Nobody likes Duke. Either you hate him or you love him. There's no like, Duke is okay.
I don't really, that ain't really, it's not like the get out. I love the education that they claim to give people.
Claim?
You know. I didn't say you was stupid or nothing like that. I just said they claim that it's just education, you know. That whole type of thing.
There's a lot of smart people on that campus.
There's a lot of smart people on a lot of campuses.
But there's a super smart people at Duke campus, especially in that graduate
school. They tell you
that graduate
there's a lot
school,
of super smart people.
I've never felt truly dumb in a classroom before until I went to grad school.
The same thing I tell Jay Will, I'll tell you. I don't want to hear nothing about no classes at no damn Duke. They ain't no different than UCLA and USC. It's all the same.
I will say that. I will say the hardest thing about Duke is getting in.
Yeah, that's a bunch of cap, man.
School is school.
Exactly. They got such cap with that. Oh, Duke's this, Duke's that.
But it is still elite. It is still elite.
So who do you got? UConn, Iowa.
You're being a hater. You're being a hater right now. A typical Duke hater. UConn, Iowa. I'm going UConn.
Okay, yeah. Well, Gino Auriemma called Paige Buchers the best player in America. Let's watch that back.
You know, we have the best player in America. And, you know, just saying that because the numbers in this world of analytics, the numbers say that she is. And the whole stat sheet says that she is. And everybody that watched knows it.
Lexi, is Paige Buchers better than Caitlin Clark?
Oh, gosh. This freaking question. This question got me in trouble the other day.
I'll answer it for you. I like Paige.
Yeah.
They told me I was crazy. That's what Paul Pierce told me. I said, man, I just like her.
Never mind.
Go ahead.
What Paul Pierce said. Why you let him say that on the show the other day?
Which part? That Paige was less than Caitlin Clark?
No, the other thing.
What did he say? That was the other thing. I don't remember. Tell me.
When he was like, that white girl, I'm a believer now. That's the part that got me.
I was trying to stop him if you...
That's why I can't wait to ask you about you.
But he kept going. Well, I can't save everybody. I tried to help him.
I'm around these guys with the white player versus the black player in the NBA. Like, that conversation happens all the time, and it's funny, it's jokes, da-da-da-da-da. But the way he said it was like, I only respect her now because...
I was trying to stop him.
As if she just wasn't busting everybody ass all year. That was why he was like, okay, she's certified.
I was trying to stop him. I mean, she's good. I think she's good, right?
I think she's really good.
I know I do. I think
and I
she's
think
good.
Paige is also really
but
good.
But I just like Paige.
I think Paige is more complete.
That's what I'm saying. Like, to me, she gives me more. Like, you know, an old girl can pass the ball. She could do a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
And she showed that she can go up against a very athletic, long team at LSU and do some stuff to them. But they, in my opinion, it was almost like Kim Mulkey game plan just, I don't know. It was a weird game plan. If that's the only person on the team that y'all think could score these type of points to beat y'all, y'all just let her do it freely. And that's how I looked at it.
Yeah.
Paul, on the other hand, he was on some... I tried to help him, but I
yapping.
Like... Yeah, I like yapping. Paige, though. I just... She got a little bit... She has a little bit more to me in her game, and I think she's a better defender. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think people forget because of the injury last year and just all the
I don't forget. I didn't
a lot of people, though, do.
I mean, Paige been stamped for a long time. Like,
yeah, I like old girl.
But I'm really excited.
And she talked that shit, though, too, though.
Yeah.
She ain't all... Spicy. Yeah, she. I like that.
Spicy.
She got some, you know... Yeah,
I mean...
She ain't out here faking bored.
When she decided to stay, you know, I wasn't surprised, but I was
she
like...
She decided to stay again?
Paige?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's staying in UConn.
So why would you declare and you're still in the Final Four anyway?
That's what they're all doing right now.
Even though you...
Kalen declared before the conference tournament even started.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that... I don't
people
see that...
People usually declare when the season's over.
Well, yeah, I don't really foresee that happening in the future because that this COVID year is going to be done. So the seniors are going to be seniors. So they're not going to have to declare.
Oh, okay.
Because they're going to be done anyway. But this group... In the last year, the last, what, 2-3 years, they've had to declare because they all had that extra COVID year that they could take.
Okay, got
but,
it.
Yeah, because I was like, dang, Paige, because she probably would have came to us at two.
I wonder why she wouldn't come out. I guess she figured she'd make more money at UConn.
More money. She probably want to win a championship. She has all her teammates are injured. She probably wants to play with them another year. I mean, I get it. I wasn't surprised at all when she decided to stay.
Well, Angel Reese likes to chalk toss too, just like any other good baller. In her post-game comments, she opened up about dealing with hateful speech and death threats. Do you feel there are double standards in the way that the media portrays Caitlin Clark's competitive nature compared to Angel's?
I think last year they both were kind of bashed pretty hard for their on-court talking.
Really?
I
only remember Angel Reese. I don't remember.
Well, yeah, it was in response to Caitlin's initial, what they thought was the trash talk with the whatever that was.
The ring.
And then the next game, Angel did it back. So it was like a back and forth thing. But this year, I would say Angel has definitely been painted like super negatively compared to Caitlin, because Caitlin still be talking spicy on the court. She still be
douching.
Yeah, but it's hoop. Like, I'm watching, I'm like, okay, like, they just playing basketball.
She seems boring to me, but... No, she does. She just seems boring
I mean, compared to Angel, everyone seems freaking boring.
Compared to Paige. Compared but to I some mean, of the you girls look at South Carolina.
I mean, you look at... I look at both of their comments after this came out, because Caitlin's comments are ridiculous as well. Like, they're full of a lot of hateful things, too. So... When it comes to hoop, like, you got real hoop beef, like, I bet your overs and you lost me money, like, that's still not okay, but like, all right. But some of the other things that is being said to the both of them and being posted about the both of them is so unnecessary and weird.
But people weird in general.
Yeah.
I tell him, his ass all the time, stay off of social media. Stop paying attention to these negative ass people that ain't got nothing to do but sit on computers or somebody in their mama's basement. That have no life at all. Don't pay attention to it.
I mean, and it's hard because, I mean, and I'm not nearly the star. I had to turn off my comments and mentions because people just don't leave you alone. And it's like you can't even exist without people having something to say, which that's the price you pay for being who you are. You know?
Yeah, but you know your life. And your life will be so much easier if you just didn't even have it.
Well, I would be making so much less money if I didn't.
I don't care.
I just care.
The stress level of
Amen.
Dealing with people in a negative ass comment.
You have to figure out a way to stay grounded and sane through it all, which
I'm 29 now. I probably achieved that at like 25.
You're still young, though.
And we weren't really even allowed to be on social media like that in college. So
at Duke?
And just college in general. I remember when I was in college, UConn and South Carolina, like they weren't even allowed to post at all. Like they were like no social media during the season.
Do you ever get like DMs or comments because of like sports bets not hitting or something like that with the rise of sports betting?
I will say that I be getting overs, getting people's overs all the time on my 3-point attempts.
Yeah.
You said I be.
Yeah. Yep.
I respect it.
That Duke education.
But Lexi, with your you recently heard showed that. Your frustration on Gil's Arena about Michael Porter Jr. having this to say about the WNBA game. Take a listen.
Oh, we're going back to this.
I know these females want to get paid more. And they're very talented, but so is a famous ping pong player. They're just as talented as the best ping pong player is just as talented as the best basketball player. That doesn't mean they're going to get paid the same because it's...
Because right. They play ping pong.
It's what the people want to watch, you know what I mean? So as much as I understand females wanting the same treatment as men basketball players, it's a different sport. People, they're not packing out the arenas. Obviously, their TV deals aren't the same. So as much as I advocate for women and kind of the equality of the respect of their craft and all those things, I mean, you can't pay them the same thing, you know, but I do feel like there should be a little way to make a little bit more money for them. Right.
So we were just talking about Iowa and LSU bringing in 12.3 million views, making it the most watched women's basketball game ever. It seems like Michael Porter Jr.'s philosophy is already proven to be a little outdated. What do you think of it all?
Well, I feel like I will give him a little bit of grace because I do know that the point he was initially trying to make, but I could see it in his eyes where he knew that he was like losing the plot, but he just kept going instead of just shutting up. So he just kind of just kept digging himself deeper and deeper, and none of them stepped in to be like, all right, like that's enough. They just kept letting him go and go and go. But I don't know. I mean, I've already said my piece on that situation. And you know, we do pack out arenas. We do have views. So, yeah, he was right about the media deal thing. He had that correct because ours is suspect and it's going to be changed hopefully with our next CBA. But, yeah, I mean, he was talking about the style of play and it's boring. And
that's not true.
I mean, and if you think that, I just want him to look at his own team.
Yeah, no, but it's not.
Like, y'all... I feel like the Denver Nuggets play very similar to a women's basketball team. And that's no disrespect at all. They're one of the best teams in the league. But I'm just like, if you're talking about players that play below the rim, have really high basketball IQ, like, Jokic has made you a lot of money, Michael Porter Jr., playing fundamental below the rim basketball. So,
Joker like a potato. He playing this all outdoors.
I love saying that. He's a right? potato.
He's a golden potato. I'm not saying he's not good. Potatoes are good.
He's the best.
They're good.
Potatoes are good in all forms.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we want some shit on top of ours. We want everything. Sour cream, chives. We want bacon. We want cheddar cheese. We want butter. We want everything.
He's just a potato.
Man, he's just a potato. Still good, though. It's still good.
The potato's good. He got salt and pepper on
it. Little salt and pepper, little butter. Keep it moving.
But
when you talk about their team and their makeup and how they play, they're bland.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. It's nothing. I'm not knocking them. They win.
And they win. So it's like, I don't know.
I would rather spend my money to go watch Golden State play than I am going to watch Denver.
You'd rather watch Golden State play right now than Denver?
Yes.
Because
Steph and them gonna be pulling from half court. I like, you know what I'm saying?
There's some excitement
to that. I don't want little boring dudes at the rim tipping the ball in, all that. Like, come on. I'm not paying for that.
Yeah. I think he was way off in his comments, but I think there were pockets of him being very genuine and sincere. So
But in all honesty though, y'all pay scale need to rise. I don't know to what level.
Yeah.
But what they giving y'all now, that ain't. I mean, come on, man.
They, I mean, they, and they when tripping. We say and when we say that, I think
people always are like, well, y'all never gonna get paid like the NBA.
Y'all like, not trying to get paid like the NBA.
Right, and that's not what we want either. And
they what y'all would take.
I mean, yeah, they were like, here, $30 million a year. Cool, because you know, the NBA had to start somewhere too. I asked my dad what his salary was.
Absolutely.
And he like wants to like punch the TV when he sees these new contracts coming out compared to what they were making when he was playing. So, you know, from when I was in the league, my rookie year to now, the pay has increased significantly. Uh-huh. So, I mean, I'm just hoping that it continues to rise, you know, as we get more stars in the league, as we get more marketing, as our personalities are able to be more promoted and shown than it has in the past. So I'm just really excited for the future, for real.
Okay.
Okay.
So with rumors of Bronny James entering the transfer portal, LeBron James had this to say about his son's future.
Well, I don't know where it came from, but at the end of the day, Bronny's his own man. He has some tough decisions to make.
Yeah.
And when he's ready to make those decisions, he'll let us all know. But as his family, we're going to support whatever he does.
So, Dad, Bronny's moving on from USC, your Trojans. So which school do you think makes the most sense for him?
If he decided to leave and enter the actual transfer portal, the rumor was he did and he didn't, and they don't know. They haven't confirmed yet, but let's assume he did.
Oh, so it's not confirmed?
It's not really. The guy who wrote the story kind of had to go back and retract his original.
Why are people allowed to do that?
I don't know. He was jumping the gun, I guess.
Do they get fines for that or something?
No.
Dang.
Most likely, though, he's going to be in the portal. Most likely. But infield left, the head coach left him with the SMU. So he's kind of like left in limbo because the new staff come in probably ain't really looking at him like that. But what I would do if I was him, I'd find a smaller school where I could just go fill it up.
Didn't Pepperdine or UCI. Close friend get the head coaching job at a school?
I don't know.
What is it? Duquesne? Is that how you say it?
Duquesne?
Oh, yeah. His high school coach, right?
Someone that's close to that.
Yeah, so go somewhere.
Or should LeBron's he high school coach.
Or should he come? Game. Or should he completely separate himself from
that crew?
Yeah.
Well, he should have done that. Leaving Sierra Canyon in high school, mm-hmm. not stay in LA, that sort of thing. Maybe go somewhere. You know, when I say go somewhere to a school where it's going to be all about you and working on your skills and them getting you ready to get to the next level. Because in basketball, as you know, those coaches are only going to work on your skills in college for you as far as the NBA go for that much. They're trying to win a national title.
Right.
They don't care about your NBA aspirations. Nope. So you go to a school that's going to let you go fill it up. I'm going to go to like a Pepperdine or somewhere. I know I'm going to go in there. They're going to let me take 30 shots a game.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go to UC Santa Barbara and just fill it up because mm-hmm. I'm going to work on my skills to get me ready for the NBA.
Yeah, and he has that option where it's not like I gotta go to the NBA now. Like
There's no rush at all.
I mean, but that when he was coming up in high school, I was like, I hope that he goes to college and like at least as well as he can enjoy being in college and enjoy that experience.
Yeah.
And get better along the way. So I think the best thing for him is to get out of LA.
Yeah, I would go. I would
go to East Coast.
Go somewhere to a smaller school that'll let me just
fill it up and rock out. Yeah, I agree. I think that would be really good for him.
Well, Lexi, as someone who's transferred from Maryland to Duke, how do you think NIL and the transfer portal are changing the current college basketball landscape?
Well, NIL has flipped college sports on its head completely, I think. Mm-hmm. More so for football, basketball, women's basketball. I'm not well versed in the other sports and how the NIL has affected, you know, other sports, but obviously we talk about women's basketball, men's basketball, and football the most. You know, I think about how much money I would have made in college with NIL. A lot of other players. There's a lot of W players that would have just went crazy with NIL in college. So that's always just fun to like talk to my old teammates and stuff and be like, remember what we was doing? Like, could you imagine if like we were able to
Duke didn't pay you?
No. I wish. Anyway.
You picked the
I didn't get paid, everybody,
you picked
okay?
the wrong school.
I went because I love basketball and I wanted to learn and get my degrees.
Was the coach that's at Duke now, was she there with you or
Kara,
no?
No.
Kara.
Kara's okay. new.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she's a couple years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, transferring. I mean, when I would transfer, that sit out thing was still in place. So I had to sit out a year, which I think is actually quite beneficial for players that are transferring because it is very hard to acclimate yourself into a new program immediately.
Oh, yeah. Rip. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think they're ever going to bring that back because I don't think it's possible to just undo a rule change like that. But for me, it was hard not playing. But when I came back that season, at my first season at Duke, like I was like ready. I was good with the team. I was comfortable. Had my schoolwork in order, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think the transfer portal is crazy. I think I saw on Twitter yesterday that there's like over 1,000 girls in the transfer portal right now.
And it'll be most of them will not have an opportunity to go and play either.
That's what I'm. It's just it's kind of bizarre to me. I mean, speaking from a transfer kid, that it was a very hard decision for me to leave.
Why did you left? Because what?
I didn't like the Big Ten.
But you picked Maryland. It's in the Big Ten. Hello,
they were in the ACC. When
so they moved to the ACC.
I played one season ACC, one season Big Ten.
But then you wind up
back in the ACC.
Oh, you wind up back in the ACC because of Duke.
Yeah. So okay. I mean, we played ACC, loved it, played Big Ten, ran through the Big Ten, undefeated, won the tournament, went to the Final Four, had a great season. But my parents and family were never able to come to any of my games.
Why?
Because they were so far. They were in Atlanta.
So your parents were in Atlanta?
They were when I was in college. So they didn't come to any games.
Oh, because the D.C., the track to...
Yeah, it's too far.
It's much closer to the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm the oldest of four. So they were like still have my siblings in high school and middle school and stuff. So they couldn't just like drop everything and just come to D.C. or Iowa or Wisconsin. But my mom came to every one of my home Duke games. She got in the car and drove.
Yeah, a couple hours.
So, yeah, that was like one of the biggest reasons why I just did not like playing in the Big Ten. I didn't like that style of play. And I really wanted my family to be able to come watch me.
The women games at Duke are in the same Cameron Indoor.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know if they had a special gym for y'all or not.
No, it's fire.
Yeah, so like
I played on the Cameron Indoor. I know
when
a couple years ago.
Don't bring that clip.
You
up.
You said a couple years ago.
Yeah. What boy? Please,
do not bring that clip up.
Stop.
You got the clip?
No, I don't have it. He just was saying
crossed over.
Me and Jay Will was in there messing around, and I fail is what he's talking about.
And you just brought that up?
Hey, come on, man.
Yeah, I don't care.
You're proud of that?
I'm not listening to him.
Football players always trying to hoop.
But that's Lexi, your teammate Ray Burrow was asked which teammate she wouldn't let date her younger brother. Here's her answer.
Don't know why she said this.
Who would you not let date your sibling?
Not let date my sibling? I mean, I have a brother.
Who would you not let date your brother?
Lexi. Lexi Brown.
we'll be telling her that.
Okay,
we'll be letting her know.
Give me the why, though. I want to know.
I asked her why.
That was
she said my standards is too high.
Whose standards is too high?
Mine. Oh. That's what she said. Because I said, why would you say that about me?
Oh, okay.
Well, what about you? Which teammate would you not want to be
Ray.
Dating a sib?
Her?
Yes.
And why?
Because she out of control. Love her to death, but she would have my sibling running all over the place after her ass.
I'm dead.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, Jamel Hill got candid about the media response to Caitlin Clark and said, quote, "They're just covering her excellence, and that's good enough. Whereas if it feels like for black athletes to get the same amount of coverage or even fair coverage, there has to be something extra beyond basketball." Lexi, as a black woman in basketball, do you feel that athletes like yourself, Juju Watkins, and MVP Aja Wilson get the same media press simply for your game?
No, but that's very obvious that we don't. And I mean, and I don't like to get involved in like this black white conversations because I do know all these players and like especially the white players that kind of just get thrusted into these conversations.
It's okay, sister.
I know. I'm just kind of like, you know, I have my black sisters, obviously, but these other players are still my sisters in the W, and, you know, I know them and care about them. So, you know, these conversations I know are hard for both sides, but I mean, she's right. When you're a black athlete, I mean, just athlete in general, you have to like kind of be like a little more, like you can't just be out there like getting buckets and being really good at basketball. It's like, okay, well, what else does she do? Like, what sets her apart more than how good she is on the court? And that's been a thing since we've been kids, I think.
Yeah, but the Caitlin Clark situation is a conversation only solely based on her skill set and scoring points.
Yeah. I've seen criticism of her antics.
She's breaking records, and so they are hyping it up. Yeah. They boosting it, they putting yeast on it.
Well, and I have a perspective from I was in college when Kelsey Plum was breaking her record.
Yeah.
Nothing like this.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Uh-huh.
That's a white player.
Yeah.
So it's just like the sensationalism of media right now.
Yeah, but she but she also
when Kelsey broke the record, she had 54 points.
Yeah, but she's doing it at a different like clip, so to speak, cuz she's shooting his threes, and you know, she had the little thing with Angel Reese, because
yeah, I'm telling you,
all that's part of it.
It's all been sensationalized, yeah. And that's just the times we're in, and we just have to at least appreciate the coverage that women's basketball is getting, but still acknowledge the flaws in it.
Yeah,
which is when you cover black athletes, it's just different. But that's on men and women. Mm-hmm. Like it's very obvious, and I don't think that it needs to be this beat down debate, like you're right, I'm wrong. Like, let's just acknowledge a thing, and how can we make it better?
Yeah. So we want to play a game before you go. Let's build the ultimate WNBA player. Take one of six attributes from any six different players all time to make the best NBA or WNBA player that you can. All right, so let's start with shooting.
My shooting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Start with passing.
Tisha Panichiro passing.
Okay. Yeah. Defense.
Tamika Catchings.
Handles.
Handles. Cappy Pondexter.
Okay. Athleticism.
Trying to think of the athletics. Kalia Copper.
Okay, and then last one, clutch / mentality, like a Mamba mentality.
Maya Moore, probably.
Okay, yeah, that's tough.
That's a good player. Yeah. Did we say height?
Let's say height.
Because I'm giving it BG.
Give 7, height.
You BG size, and you got
Brittany
all that.
Griner, yeah. That was different.
I can't believe she did name Cynthia Cooper, Cheryl Swoops, Tina, Leslie, Candace.
Okay, can we talk like, about this real
now.
Quick? Can we talk about this real quick?
You're missing out on all no. type of
okay,
news.
Let's do
Sue Bird.
No, can we talk about now. This though? Because
damn,
because y'all, and I say y'all because you're a little bit older than me, because y'all failed to give them their flowers when they was coming up. Now y'all want us to give them their flowers. We also have another group.
Who failed?
Your age group.
I ain't got nothing to do with what everybody else.
No, but I'm saying it's now all coming on top of us to acknowledge all of them, which I am happy to do.
How you not going to acknowledge Sue Bird? How you just going to gloss
me.
Over that?
Tisha is older than Sue.
But you glossed right over.
I didn't gloss. I went... Yeah, I glossed backwards. I went farther back than Sue. Because if I said Sue, you'd have been like, well, what about Tisha? You don't even know who Tisha is.
You're talking about Misha Catchings, right?
No, Tisha.
No,
point guard. She played for Sacramento.
No, I don't
you should
know
look
her.
Up her highlights after this. No. Very talented passer.
You got a Mount Everest for us? Top 4 players ever?
Mount Everest?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do Rushmore, your Mount Everest.
I'm sorry.
Mine? In the WNBA?
Cheryl.
In a WNBA?
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, this is my thing with this.
Well,
these
I'm
conversations.
I would assume Sue Bird's got to be on there.
Why?
I mean, I'm just saying, I don't have all this stuff in front of me, but I watched
but
her play.
But there's so many players that have not gotten their flowers up to this point. So we are taking it upon ourselves to give them those flowers. Like a Cheryl Swoops, for example, I've gotten to know her very well in the last few years. And the lack of flowers she's received up to this point has been ridiculous.
Yeah, so, but that ain't got nothing to do with me.
No, but it don't got nothing to do with me either. But
I love Cheryl. I watched her. Like I said, I used to go to comic games all the time. So
the Mount Rushmore, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Cheryl Swoops. I'm assuming Lisa. I mean, that's a, I gotta look. I gotta, I'm assuming Lisa Leslie, but I gotta look at,
there's so,
I gotta look.
Like, it's a hard conversation to have because the league is so young.
Yes, young.
We're just now getting into these GOAT dialogues with DT. DT is still playing.
You know, Candace Parker, is she on there somewhere?
There's just so many, so many.
Right.
And yes, it is our responsibility to give them all the flowers that they have not received thus far. And I'm very happy to do that.
All right.
Yes. Yep.
You got that new money, though. Can I get courtside seats?
No, I'm going to need you to buy a ticket first to prove your loyalty, and then we can
I can't get
up.
A courtside seat.
Got to prove your loyalty, buy you a ticket, and then we'll hook you up after
There's only
that.
One WNBA team in L.A., right? The Correct. Sparks.
Yes.
Yes. No, I was thinking of the arena. I was like, I wonder if the Clippers would try to
get one too.
Yeah, kind of be involved if they would be involved now that they got their new arena. If they would try to add a second WNBA team, if is there room in LA for a second WNBA team?
No.
No, I'm serious.
I would rather them go to another city, yeah. Which they are. They're going to the Bay.
Right. So there's one getting ready to go to the Bay
next year.
Okay, that's what's up.
Expansion, guys. Their growth is happening. Okay.
Well, thank you for letting us, you know, be a part of your day. Take some time up. I appreciate it, Lexi.
Here. Me and Cannon.
The doggy.
The doggy Cannon.
He was sleeping.
That's a wrap.
All right.
A wrap for today's show. Thanks again to Lexi Brown for joining the show. Don't forget to subscribe. And follow All Facts Pod on social media. Until then, it's Keyshawn. Peace.